Very thankful to be with you here for this meeting once again. It's always a joy to me to be able to meet our brethren and friends in the house of God. In my mind, good preaching is when a brother takes a complex and difficult subject and breaks it down so that it seems so simple that any of us can see it has to be right. Now, we've been blessed this evening to have just such preaching.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for Brother John and his gift. I think I'll share a little story, and the brethren have all been very careful not to do this, but you know, I'm just odd man out sometimes. A few years ago, I was visiting in another part of this state with a young preacher, and I'd ask him about a certain fellow that he knew and I didn't. And he told me, he said, well, certain brethren have labored with him and he just won't straighten up. And then he said, you know, I'm young and I understand why he wouldn't listen to me. He said, I can't figure out why he wouldn't listen to a seasoned veteran like Brother John Mazzell. He said, I just can't figure that out. My mind went back to that afternoon I first met Brother John when he had a surfboard on top of his car. I said, my, things have changed overnight, haven't they? Lord bless you, Brother John. I rejoice in the preaching of the gospel. I want to call your attention tonight, just very briefly, to this verse. I may not be so brief when I get to the next one, but the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. I pronounced it as I read it two different words. I don't know what that's called, but that's the way we did it. One of those goes from man to God. The other comes from God to man. Blessed is an expression that we use to honor, to praise, to magnify the name of one who is higher than us. The other, blessed, is something that God has done and is doing and will continue to do for us. Now, I don't have to explain, I don't think, what a blessing is. I go places, and there's about to be a meal. And somebody looks around and says, would you bless this food? Well, I'd love to. I really would. I can't do that. I can't bless that food. I can give thanks for it. I can ask God to bless it. All I can do at that point is eat it. Can't bless it. That's not within my capability. It's not within my power. But I do have right to address one who can and who has it within his power, ability, and pleasure to bless that food to its intended purpose. Okay? Now, if that make somebody uncomfortable. I'm sorry you're uncomfortable, but, you know, just want to get the thought in front of it. When I bless the Lord, I do not make the Lord bigger. I do not make the Lord better. I do not make the Lord more able. You know, we don't change God. We can't add to God. We can't take from God. I can't give God anything that you would use to calculate his net worth. There's a banker or two in the building. You can talk to them about the calculation of net worth and how that's done. And basically it means we add up all of an individual's assets. That's everything that's in the plus column. His home, his car, his wardrobe, anything that he owns that could be sold, plus all his money. And then we subtract from that every obligation he has to others. You know, house payment, car payment, not the payment itself, but the loan that he's paying on. We subtract that from the assets. Hopefully there's a positive balance. If there's a negative balance, that's called bankruptcy. But hopefully there's a positive balance, and we say that's that individual's net worth. Now, about 10 years ago, my dad and I were out behind his house one morning, and he said, Daddy was a man of few words. He said, I'm going to be out of the cattle business by September. You know, it hit me a little hard. We've been working together in this deal for a good long while at that point. I said, okay. He said, I guess you want to take it over. Well, yes, sir, but under what terms? He said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I'll buy the caps. How much you going to give me? I told him. All right. Well, that didn't change my net worth. I just bought something paid fair market value for. Well, I said, what about the equipment? So we agreed on a price. We were partners on equipment. We agreed on a price for that. That didn't change my net worth. Then he said, what about the land? And I said, you want to finance it? He said, oh, no. He said, I'm going to give it to you. And then I'm going to give your sisters an amount of money equal to what I banked for and for. Okay. Are you sure? He said, well, I haven't talked to your mama yet, but it'll be all right. That increased my net worth.
Right.
All right. You understand?
Right.
That increased my net worth. Nothing you can do will change God's net worth. You will never make him one bit richer than he is. You will never deplete his assets to any extent or any degree. You just cannot change God's net worth. But we do have the capacity and ability, being born again, to bless his holy name. Let's go to Psalm 103. This is an interesting psalm. It's a rich psalm. If I had just a whole bunch of time, I'd probably get bogged down in some of these middle verses. But we're going to try to work on the two ends of this psalm and let somebody else deal with the middle parts some other time. 103 Psalm. Bless the Lord, Oh, my soul. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Every thought of ours ought to be one of praise to our Heavenly Father. You say, but Brother James, I've got a job. I have to work. I have to think about that. Well, when you get up at morning and are getting ready to go to your job, you ought to pray to God that everything I do and say today will show my love and my devotion to you.
Amen.
Help me, Lord.
Amen.
Help me, Lord.
Amen.
In this day before me, to praise thy holy name, to magnify thy name, never to bring reproach upon thy name. And we do that, our life will bless God.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, when people are looking for work, I don't know if anybody ever does that really anymore or not. Every business in our county has got a sign out front that says, now hiring. But they're really, what they really means, we're trying to hire. But people are interested in the benefit package at a job. You run a small business like mine where you have one employee most of the time and sometimes two. Folks come to work for me and say, what about benefits? I said, you get to work with me every day. That's it. Paid time off doesn't happen. Well, yeah, I'll give them a little bonus on Christmas, maybe. But God has benefited us.
Amen.
Benefits that flow from God to us reach into the very heart and soul of man. Brother John's been talking about that lack of confusion. Man, you talk about a benefit. I've never seen an employer in this world who could give me lack of confusion in my life. The Lord said, you cannot serve two masters. And to the degree that I make myself a servant to sin, to the degree that I make myself servant to another man, to the degree that I make myself a servant to a hobby, I'm about to get personal. To the degree that I make myself a servant to pleasure more than a lover of God, when I make myself a lover of pleasure rather than lovers of God, what am I doing? I'm forfeiting some of the benefit that could flow from God to me.
Amen.
We sing an old song at home. Much of my time has run to waste. And I perhaps I'm near my home, near my end. You know, you get, these brothers have been talking about age a little bit. I love coming to Georgia. I tell you, around home, I can't find any older preachers anymore. I come over here, man, I got classified as one of the younger preachers last night. I about shouted. I tell you. Benefits. Lack of confusion is a benefit. Peace. Peace in our homes. Peace in our churches. Peace in the quiet hours of the night are great benefits that come to the obedient child of God. God doesn't owe that to us, but in His mercy, He extends it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not His benefits. Has God benefited you? I got here and Brother Vernon showed up. I'd never seen him in Georgia before. I've known Brother Vernon for years. I've been in his home. He's been in my home. We've been around together a little bit. But I was glad to see, I hadn't seen Brother Vernon in 3 or 4 years. And then I heard him preach, and that was a great blessing in that to me. But you know, I didn't go praising Brother Vernon. I know him well enough to know he can't do that if God doesn't bless him to do that. Now, I picked on Brother Vernon. I mean, every other brother that's been up here, same situation. They can't do that if God doesn't bless them. But when I see God bless a man to bless me, I ought to bless God for it. Blessed be the Lord, God, the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The child of God, born of the Holy Spirit, understanding the truth of the gospel, has every reason to devote himself to the service of God, to the praise of God, and living in such a way as to magnify the name of God. Psalm 34, maybe. David said, great is the God, great is the Lord, and worthy to be praised. Do you know, you and I have never been able to praise God as much as we ought to do. What we ought to do is beyond our capacity to do if we look at our obligation based upon the depth of His mercy to us. We'll never get beyond what is reasonable. Now, move down toward the end. Verse 20 in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, ye His angels. Angels. His angels. Now, the devil's got some angels, but we're not talking about them right here. We're talking about the Lord's angels. What do? They praise God, do they not? Were there not some angels one spring night many centuries ago who said unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior? What were they doing? They were praising God. They were praising God out loud. They were praising God out loud where others could hear. They were praising God so that humans could hear. They were blessing God in their song that men might know He's worthy to be praised. Angels do that. You ever think I'd like to be more like an angel? That would have to be somewhat better, would it not, than this just existence, than this world full of iniquity and sorrow? Well, the angels bless God. Ought not you and I to bless God? They're not sinners. God didn't send Jesus to die for them. He sent Jesus to die for you. If angels bless God and they've not even been saved by the death of Jesus, surely you who have been saved by the death of Jesus ought to bless the Lord.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, David said. Oh my soul. Oh my soul. Let's get another verse here. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his host. Now sometimes the host refers to the angels, but not always. In Psalm 24, I think, that psalm talks about the Lord coming in and the everlasting gates being lifted up. You know, in that psalm, the Lord came in twice into heaven. He had been out of heaven, but he goes in twice. First time he went in, when the question was, who is this King of glory? The answer is, he's the Lord, mighty in battle. He's coming back from war. He's coming back from a war that he fought by himself. But Brother John pointed out that we're not having a battle tonight with the forces of this world. Our battle is within us. I tell you, the battle that bothers me is not to control what goes on in the inner cities of our land. The battle with me is to keep my body, my flesh, under subjection. Paul said, I bring my body under. Keep my body under. Well, you can't keep it under if you don't bring it under.
Right.
So he labored, he struggled to bring his body into submission to his spirit, and then to keep it there. But John said somebody tried to bite him today. I assume that was a student and not another staff member, right? That's the old principle in me. You have to clarify who messed up. It can go both ways. He wasn't biting, Brother John, but many years ago, I tackled a 16-year-old boy who was bigger than me and way stronger than me because he was taking punches at the English teacher. And, you know, it was a job to get him down. Now, I didn't have any help right at the time, but by the time I got him on the floor, there were three other male teachers that showed up. So we made the decision immediately to keep him down. Superintendent came strolling by and told us to let him up. We got to tackle him again then. And I'd already thought I was right, but I knew then, if I get this body down, I best keep an eye on it.
Amen.
I best keep my hands on it. I best beg God to help me keep it down.
Amen.
I tell you, I believe with men it's impossible to keep this body down, but with God, all things are possible. Now I know that's written about the new birth and the impartation of life. Would you let me flip it out of context just a minute? And it's the truth of God.
Amen.
With regard to that struggle. So when David said, bless the Lord, all ye his host, what's he talking about? I think he's talking about every born again child of God. We all ought to be blessing the Lord. Now you who know that, you who are present in a meeting like this, no doubt rejoice to have an experience with the Lord so that you're desirous to bless his holy name. You want to go where folks are singing his praise. You want to go where folks are attempting to magnify his name. And the last thing you'd want to hear is somebody try to put him down. Is that not the case? Well, I tell you, all of us ought to be praising him and blessing him. Bless the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. Ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. That ministers his servants. But you know, it will apply to those of us who try to preach the gospel. I hear some speaking that passes for preaching that has no praise to God in it. Just beg to be excused. I don't want to have to sit through it. You know, I know there's a time and place for other things, but I tell you, every sermon that's preached from God's minister ought to have praise to the Lord in it.
Amen.
But this next expression, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all his works. Do you know everything that God does points to the goodness, the greatness, the holiness, the power of God? Everything he does. Everything he does. The timely deliverances we experience every day of our lives make God look bigger to us. Don't make him any bigger, but they make him look bigger to us. I have some experience in my family recently when God afforded great and I believe very special deliverance. I may have told this story last time I was in this area. I think I did probably, but anyway. One of my grandchildren in a bad automobile accident. I have some question in my mind if angels delivered him in the accident or if God healed him in the helicopter on the way to the hospital. I know that the people who loaded him in the helicopter gave us a list. I wasn't there, but gave us a list of injuries that he had. And when he got to the hospital, most of them didn't exist. A couple did, but most of them didn't even exist. They weren't there. He didn't have those injuries. Now, he's going to be scar-faced the rest of his life, but he can get a broken bone except for his nose. The vehicle he was driving, totally distraught. Unbelievable when you look at it that anybody could have survived in that thing. Don't tell me God wasn't watching. You know, has to be the case. I believe that, you know, my grandson has great reason to bless the Lord. He knows that it's not reasonable that he should be in the good shape that he's in today. He ought to be blessing God. He ought to be doing it in a way he's not. I mean, he's a pretty good occupier of a seat in the church house, but He's not a member of the church. You know, has every reason to. I know he owes his very life this day to a moment of deliverance from God. What an obligation that places on me to magnify the name of that God who spared me such grief. I drive down the highway. I didn't drive down the interstate from my home to Little Rock yesterday morning. It was daylight, and I was going to be going on that part of I-40 between Conway and Little Rock. You never know how many hours that might take to travel that 25 miles early in the morning. So I went down a state highway 10. Now we go through hill country. Really hill country for a few miles. And I just love to drive down that highway and see the scenery. Beautiful, beautiful drive. And why did God make such a beautiful spot as that? You know, he could have made the whole earth smooth and flat, but he didn't want to. He made it beautiful. Sister Nell probably remembers the first time I ever went to Old Union Church. I was riding with Elder Huckabee, and some of you have been there and you would agree, but that church house is in one of the most beautiful little valleys in the mountains of Arkansas. And we crossed that Saline River Bridge and we drove down that valley, and I was just in amazement. And so when I got up that night to try to preach, I said, if a man can't preach here, he can't preach anywhere. Of course, the folks at Old Union really worked Brother Sonny over about that, but that wasn't what I meant. But you know, really, in that beautiful spot that God made, I tell you, you don't go to Old Union accidentally. You don't just stumble onto it. You got to be hunting it. Better to have somebody show you the way in first two or three times. It's, GPS will get you lost. You won't get you there. There's a gated community, several hundred thousand acres in that area. If you get on GPS, it'll run you across that thing, only you can't go. Got locks on all the gates. So, you know, you got to have help. A man is worth it when you find him. I believe the valleys and the hills and the flowers, I believe all those praise God. I believe the heavens praise the Lord. But I want to close with one experience from the Bible. Second chapter of Luke. Maybe it's first chapter of Luke. The angel has appeared unto Mary, told her, fear not. Told Joseph, fear not. A lot of fear nots in this connection. From God to man. He told Mary that you are the virgin. She's going to be the mother of the Son of God. You're going to be, either are or have been, overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And that baby is going to be the Son of God, and you're going to have him without ever knowing a man in an intimate relationship. So Mary, and the angel told her, something she never expected to hear. She said, the angel told Mary, your cousin Elizabeth is with child. And she's an old woman. Mary's very young, but her cousin Elizabeth is an old woman. We have a young elder up in our country that grew up there at least. He's moved off out in Texas, the wasteland of Texas. You grew up right there.
I sure did.
Wasteland of Texas. I didn't do that on purpose. They've always wanted a large family. They had two boys. I think they're 17 and 15, and didn't look like they'd ever have any more, so they adopted four children. Had a terrible time getting the legal work all done for the fourth one. They're natural siblings, but in the whole state of Texas, they couldn't come up with a birth certificate for one of those babies. Finally got it done just a very few weeks ago. And there was a celebration in their home. The adoption process is complete. They're ours. Nobody can take them away from us. A couple of days later, the mother realized something going on. Number seven's on the way. All right, she's going to be past 40. Blessed be the Lord. I mean, been 15 years, no child. Now, you might think they probably weren't real thrilled about that. They are. They're happy as they can be. Magnify. His works magnify. All right? So, Mary goes to Elizabeth's house. And when she spoke to Elizabeth, John the Baptist... Now, the Lord named him John, but he hadn't called him the Baptist. You know, that came from some other folks. John, 6 months before his natural birth, heard the voice of Mary and somehow, and we all know how, but you can't explain it to folks who don't believe it. Somehow that three-month-old, what the world wants to refer to as a fetus, that three-month-old John leaped for joy in his mother's womb. What did he do? He magnified the name. He blessed the Lord 6 months before his natural birth. You didn't do it that quick, I suspect. But some of us have been blessed in a way that we can't remember when we began to bless God. Began to have feelings in our souls that testified to us of the mercy of God to us. And we out of our new nature, began to cry out in praise to God. Perhaps before we knew his name. That baby leapt for joy. And Elizabeth said, "Wow, highly favored art thou among women." I don't know how Elizabeth, well, I do know. How did Elizabeth know all that? How'd she know that what went on in her womb was because she just heard the voice of the mother of the Messiah. How did she know that? God enabled her to see it. Man, I tell you, when God reveals his eternal truth to us, we ought to rejoice. And we ought to bless God. But we hear the gospel preached and we understand it. We ought to go away from the house of God, praising God for the gospel we heard preached. It's all right to tell the preacher you enjoyed it, but don't try to blow him up and puff him up. Give him the big head. I mean, if he's worth his salt, he knows it came from the Lord. If he's worth his salt, he knows he couldn't do it without the Lord's help. And if he'll take credit for it, you ought not let him. Now, we don't need to be swelling each other's heads. We don't Folks need encouragement. Preaching's a discouraging proposition. We need to encourage, especially these younger brothers. And Mary said, the mother of Jesus, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Now, some of you brethren who like to study deep, hard subjects and decide you're going to explain the difference in the spirit and the soul, right there's a good verse for you to start working on, I guess. I'm really not ready to try to explain all that tonight, but there is a difference. And Mary said her soul did magnify the Lord, and her spirit did rejoice. There's a mental application and there's an emotional application. I leave it at that. Why did Mary say that my soul? Does she mean that I thought about it and I wrote a poem about how good God is? No. She just meant there's something in me that just swelled up and made God seem so special and so real and so personal to me. And I tell you, brethren, tonight, if you can be filled with the Spirit of God and with the Holy Ghost outpouring upon you and within you so that you seem to be closer to God than you were before, your soul will magnify the Lord, whether you speak it or don't. But why would you hide the thing? Why would you hide it? Thank you.